Well, this morning, from Genesis chapter 47, your assignment being chapters 46 and 47, I want to talk to you about being and bestowing a blessing. I want to talk to you about being and bestowing a blessing. You say, that sounds boring. Well, stick around. And wait and see why you too will want to be one who bestows a blessing. We read in our text, Genesis chapter 47. Joseph, verse 7, brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob, his father, blessed Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." What you say? 130? Few have been his days? Well, in comparison to his dad. And few and hard were those days as it relates to he only spent a little bit of time proportionally in the promised land of Canaan. And they were difficult days, you see. So he says, "Few and hard have been the days of the years of my life, and I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, in the days of their pilgrimage." Verse 10, "And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh." The scene is almost surreal. It would be somewhat shocking in context of those days of that culture. For you see, here is Jacob being brought before Pharaoh. Jacob is an old man from a very famished and impoverished land. He was brought by his son, Joseph, and we've been reading his story, how Joseph incredibly, miraculously became prime minister of Egypt. And now Joseph calls for his family to come from Canaan to live in Egypt with him. And now they've come. And Jacob, Joseph's dad, stands before Pharaoh. And what he does that's so surreal, so shocking, is that he blesses Pharaoh. He blesses Pharaoh not once, but he blesses Pharaoh twice. For our text tells us that Jacob blessed Pharaoh when he went in, verse 7. And he blessed Pharaoh again when he went out, in verse 10. He blessed Pharaoh in his coming in. He blessed Pharaoh in his going out. Now, you say, what's so shocking about that? Well, in those days, you see, that would be a bodacious, audacious thing to do. An old, impoverished man coming in and pronouncing a blessing upon a big kahuna like Pharaoh. You see, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says this, "For without contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater." Again, the lesser is blessed by the greater. The greater person blesses the lesser one. Now here's Pharaoh, the most powerful person politically on the face of the planet. Here's Pharaoh in all his royalty and power and glory and splendor. Here's Pharaoh on his throne, and here comes this old man from an impoverished land, and this old man blesses Pharaoh when he comes in, and this old man blesses Pharaoh when he goes out. And this must have taken Pharaoh back a bit. This was very unusual. This was against protocol. Because, as Hebrews 7 says, the greater blesses the lesser, And Pharaoh was the big kahuna. He was the power broker. He was the guy who was on the throne. He was the man in command. So how is this? That this guy, this old man from that faraway land, comes in here, Pharaoh would think, and blesses me. How could this be? Did Jacob think that he was greater than Pharaoh? No, Jacob knew who he was. In fact, it's interesting for you who are following the story to see that in the text right here, this man Jacob is referred to as Jacob and not by his new name Israel, which means governed by God. Jacob was his old name that speaks of his tendency to be sneaky and fleshly. Israel was his new name that spoke of his relationship with God and his new calling, you see. So it's interesting that in our text it says, Jacob, verse 7, blessed Pharaoh. And again, Jacob blessed Pharaoh again in verse 10. I suggest to you that Jacob did not think, I'm greater than Pharaoh in my person. But he knew, he knew that he was greater than Pharaoh in his position. What do you mean, Pastor John? He knew that he was linked to Yahweh. He was a child of Yahweh, a child of God. He knew that there was a linkage to God. He was a servant of God. He had a relationship with God. And consequently, he knew that in his position, not his person, but in his position, he was in a better place than was Pharaoh with all of his power, with all of his prestige, with all of his money, with all of his armies. Jacob knew that's all going to pass away. I'm in a better position. I'm in a greater position. So I'm going to bless you, Pharaoh, today. In the Bible, this idea of blessing, conveying prosperity, conveying happiness, conveying success, those are all definitions of blessing. This idea of blessing was reserved for the patriarchs, for the prophets, for the priests, and for the kings. Those were the ones that blessed, that pronounced blessing, that dispatched blessing, that bestowed blessing. The patriarchs and the prophets and the priests and the kings. But you know something? Jacob was a patriarch, it's true. And you may say, well, John, if you're talking about us bestowing blessing, man, I don't fit into those categories. Not me. I'm not a patriarch, nor a priest, nor a prophet, nor a king. Really? In 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says to me and to you, you are a chosen generation, and you are a royal what? Priesthood. You are a chosen generation, and you are a royal priesthood. You are royalty, and you are in the priestly ministry. Who? Every one of you. Now, what were priests to do? If we, it's true, are in this priestly ministry, the Lord says, hey, I have done something radical in you. I've made you a part of royalty. I've placed you in the priestly ministry. If that be so, then what are we to do? Well, jot this down if you're taking notes and read it later, because it's a wonderful section of Scripture. In Numbers chapter 6, the last few verses of that chapter, the Lord says, speak to the sons of Aaron. That is, speak to the priests, because the sons of Aaron were the priests. And say, thus shall you speak unto my people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee what? Peace. This is what you are to do, priests. The Lord said that day, you are to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lifts up his countenance, or that you might find favor in his face, literally. And the Lord give you peace. And the Lord says, you shall place my name upon the people. And he says, and I will bless them. In other words, priests, this is what you're to do. You're to fan out amongst the people of Israel, Numbers chapter 6 told them in that day. And you're to place my name, you're to place my name, you're to place my name upon them. You're to speak blessing to them. You're to pronounce this benediction upon them. And I'm going to answer it, and I'm going to work. Now that's what they were to do in their day. And that's what Jacob did in this story. He goes in before Pharaoh, and he blesses him. He pronounces blessing upon him. He may have said, the Lord's face shine upon you, Pharaoh. He may have said, the Lord's peace be within you, Pharaoh. He may have said, the Lord be gracious unto you, Pharaoh. We don't know exactly what he said that day, but he blessed him. Pharaoh was taken back, but Jacob just turned around and blessed him again. And that's what the priests were to do, Numbers chapter 6. And that is the thing that you and I get to as well. To pronounce blessing. Whether a person is a brother in the Lord or a taskmaster, a pharaoh, cracking the whip on the job site. No matter who the person might be, here's the thing. We get to be those because we are in the royal priesthood. Because of the position that you are in with the people that come to your shop, to your office, to your house, you get to pronounce blessing upon them. What does that mean? A couple of things. We dispatch, bestow the blessing in the words that we say, number one, and in the way that we pray, number two. In the words that we say, number one, in the way that we pray, number two. People need to hear the Lord's name in a way that's not swearing and cursing and mockery and blasphemy. Number six, again, in that passage of priestly benediction. Place my name, he says, upon the people, and I will bless them. Wherever you go, wherever I go, we hear people in the world using God's name in vain. Mocking God, dishonoring God, trivializing God. But you and I get to be those who say, wait a minute, the Lord bless you. My car was being worked on, and so it was taking a little longer than what they had anticipated. I found I had an hour or so free, and so I grabbed my Bible and I was walking through a section of Medford that was close to the place where my car was being worked on that day. And as I was just walking the streets of this particular section of Medford, going further and further, I found myself in a place where there was poverty. And a bunch of kids were out in front, oh, 3, 4, 5 years old or so, of a certain house that was pretty run down, pretty bad shape. And they were playing with each other, about 6 or 7 kids or so. And I watched them for a minute or two. And I said, hey kids, listen. The Lord bless you guys. May His peace be in your hearts. May His blessing be on your lives. May His love embrace you. May the Lord just bless you. These guys looked at me as though they thought they had seen a ghost initially. You see, the only time that those kids probably hear the name of the Lord is in cursing, in some kind of blasphemy. Probably those kids, the only time they hear God's name is when it's said in vain. I wonder how many opportunities have come their way where they have heard somebody pronounce a blessing upon them. And they stood there and they looked at me. And they smiled. And one of the kids said, "Thank you." And they went back to their playing and I went on my way too. But just taking a moment to place the name of the Lord bless you. Just take a simple thing. It took me just a moment or two to pronounce a blessing upon them, and their ears perked up and their little hearts were softened. You could see it on their face. You have the opportunity when you go to work on Monday to walk into your Pharaoh's office, so to speak. The guy that's enslaved you. The guy that's cracking the whip, the guy that doesn't pay you well. And you can say to him, "The Lord bless you, boss. May His grace be upon your life. May His love envelop you today. May He keep you. May He cause His face, His smile to shine upon you, boss. God bless you." And walk out. It's radical. It's radical and it is doable. Every one of you, any one of you, has the opportunity to cause blessing to be bestowed upon a person. You see, that Pharaoh in your office, that guy that you think has it made in the shade while you're working in the sun, making bricks and building pyramids, It may not be exactly that way. He may think, "Does anybody really care for me?" I can recall 1984, second week in February. It was Saturday morning and I wasn't feeling really good. I had kind of a flu bug or something and I had spent the night before tossing my cookies. So in the morning, I was just kind of laying there in bed, and little Christy, who at that time was 3, came bounding in bright and early. And I was single parenting at that time, and she popped in, "Daddy, Daddy!" And I just, oh man, I pretended like I was dead. I didn't open my eyes, I didn't turn my head, I just laid there, hoping that she would leave me in my misery. She did. She ran down the hall, and I laid there, thought, "Oh, I've got to get some sleep." And she came back a moment later, bringing Jesse, who at that time was 5, and Peter John, who at that time was 7. "Oh no," she says, "oh no, Daddy's dead, Daddy's dead," she said. And Jesse walks in, and Peter John's close behind. Here I thought, I'm going to see how this plays out. So I just laid there, you see. "Daddy's dead," she said, "Daddy's dead." And Jesse, who's real organized and all of that stuff, Jesse, my daughter, you know, she says, "Well," she says, "ah." She looked at me and shook me, and I didn't budge. And she said, "Well, we better divide up his stuff." And Peter, who was 7, said, "No, no, Jesse, no, no." He says, "First we got to bury him before he stinks." And I'm laying there hearing this, divide up his stuff. "No, let's bury him first." And, you know. A great moment. You might not think that your boss hears or knows what's going on. You might think, hey, that person, that neighbor, that whoever, they've got it made. They've got it made, and I've got it tough. But listen, there may be things where they feel like, man, there's somebody out to bury me. Or my stuff is about to be divided up, or I'm not feeling well, or whatever it might be. Listen, you can be a huge blessing tomorrow morning. You can be in the priestly ministry, but I'm old. So was Jacob, 130. But I'm poor. So was he. But I'm nothing. Neither was Jacob in the eyes of men. But he walks into the palace of Pharaoh and he blesses him. And Pharaoh says, how old are you, dude? And he blesses him again, you see. And that's what you can do. You can walk into that in-law's house. You can walk into your boss's office. You can walk into the restaurant, wherever you go. It just takes a moment or two. But in the words you say, you can bless people that day by putting his name in their ear. This is what you shall do, number 6 says, to the priests who are in ministry, and you, folks, are a royal priesthood, you see. Place my name in their ears, he says, and I will bless them. Pronounce a blessing. The words you say. Secondly, the way you pray. Not only can you speak words of blessing, but you can pray for blessing. Two nights ago, I had an opportunity again to just go for a walk through my neighborhood. And as I did so late at night, it was a fabulous, fabulous time, not only just to talk with the Lord, but to go down the street and pronounce blessing upon each house. To say, Lord, may your spirit be moving in that house this evening. Lord, those people probably don't know you. There's not evidence of that, but Lord, you know them. I pray your blessing to be upon them. Lord, bless, and going right down the road and up a bit, just pronouncing blessing and praying for blessing upon each house. You can do that. You can go through your neighborhood or through your apartment complex or whatever it might be and just bless in the name of the Lord. May your grace be upon them, Lord. May you heal that problem in their family, Lord. Lord, work a wonder in that home today, I pray. Lord, bring them back to the place where they were once at. They've strayed away. Whatever it might be, you can pray blessing. Jacob here does something that's a wonderful example for you and me. He goes right into Pharaoh, the big kahuna, numero uno, and he blesses him in his going in, and he blesses him when he goes out. Now you say, well, John, this is all semi-interesting. But tell me, why would I want to go into my in-law's house and pronounce the name of the Lord and say, may the Lord fill your house with his peace? Why would I want to go to my boss and say, may the Lord bless your day? Why would I want to walk up to those kids on the street and say, may the Lord smile upon you and may his peace be placed within you? Why would I want to do that, John? Now listen carefully, and I'm done. Not only because it will change their lives. There is power in the bestowed blessing. As you read through the Bible, you'll come through example after example where blessing is bestowed and lives are changed. We're going to study that rather carefully in the 49th chapter of Genesis, Lord willing. It's true that when I place his name upon people, pronounce blessing upon people, you can too. To your clients, to your customers, to people that come your way, be radical. Pronounce blessing on them. Or offer a prayer on behalf of them. The blessing, you see, is the words we say and the way we pray. It's both. Talking to the people about the Lord and talking to the Lord about the people. That is both involved in the blessing. Talking to the people about the Lord and talking to the Lord about the people. Why would you want to? Not only because it will impact them, but listen. Listen carefully. Listen, don't miss this. The blessing that flows through me, listen, the blessing that flows through me, the blessing that flows through me sticks to me. It's real simple. I've learned that over the years. The blessing that flows through me sticks to me. Now, if you curse people, blah, 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 you know, I'm mad at them and curses on them and I can't believe she did that and why does he say that? I can't believe my boss. I can't believe my parents. I can't believe that person. If you curse people, your life will be cursed. That negative heaviness, cursedness will stick to you. But on the other side of the coin, if you bless your wife instead of cursing her, if you bless your boss instead of cursing him, if you bless your neighbor instead of murmuring and grumbling about how loud they are the night before, if you bless, the blessing that you give, the blessing that flows through you sticks to you. That's why Jesus said, gang, he didn't say gang, but he said, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. And you bless them and that you curse them not nor revile not against them. You are going to be blessed. If when you're being put down or bugged or feel like you're being unfairly treated or attacked, he says, don't curse, but bless. Because the blessing that flows through you sticks to you, whereas the curses that come from you will be a bummer in you. Can I challenge you in the Applegate family on this wonderful, warm Sunday morning? Be like Jacob. No matter what Pharaoh you may face, no matter where you go, whatever place, pronounce blessing. The words you say. Offer prayer. It's the way you pray. And in so doing, they'll be impacted, they'll be affected, but also, so will you. Do you curse your husband? Curse your wife? Talk negatively about them, grumble and murmur and complain, and are you bitter? Then you're going to be a grumbling, murmuring, complaining, bitter, snivelly little person. Because it's going to stick to you. Do you bless her, your wife? Do you bless your husband? Do you speak highly of them? Do you pronounce blessing on them? Then guess what? That's the kind of person that you're going to be. For what flows through you sticks to you. What flows through you sticks to you. What flows through you sticks to you. Did you know this? Whatever flows through you sticks to you. Do you understand that? Whatever flows through you sticks to you. Whatever flows through you. Whatever flows through you sticks to you. So if you are a blessing, then you will be blessed. If you are a curser, then you will be cursed. May God make us like Jacob, who in any situation, on any given day, say an opportunity to pronounce blessing. And that's what I'll do. I'll place his name in their ears that they might be blessed and me too. Me too. For whatever flows through you will stick to you. Let's pray. I ask, Father, that we might be those that are not cursers, murmurers, grumblers, but that we might do what Jesus taught us to bless those who persecute and hurt and not curse. That we might be like Jacob, oh Lord, who had the boldness to walk into the palace of Pharaoh and pronounce a double blessing upon him. Father, I pray that we might be the priests that you told us that we are, a royal priesthood, that we might pronounce your blessing in the ears of people and place your name upon them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this Applegate Fellowship family would fan out throughout the Rogue Valley this day and this week and be channels through which blessing would be dispensed in the words that we say, in the way that we pray. May the valley be blessed today. May we be channels through which your blessings can flow to a people that need, Lord, to know that you are gracious and good and want to bless them. Empower us, enlighten us, enable us to do that this week. In Jesus' name and for His glory we pray. Amen.